Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. We begin today a new sermon series, a new message series, talking about the world of possibility. I love this idea of possibility. And I was thinking about the world we live in and the way that it really is teeming with possibility. And in order to kind of unpack that a little bit, we're going to get a little technical for a bit. But here's the thing about that. I want to prepare you for that because it's going to get a little sciencey and lectury for a moment. But we're going somewhere with that. And oddly enough, you'll understand why I say this after you hear that little techie part. You don't have to understand a word of it, but I'm awed by it. You know, the world we live in is a fascinating place. On the one hand, there's a lot that's predictable in our world. One of the scientists that we can thank for demonstrating this is Sir Isaac Newton. Newton and other scientists of his age gave us mathematical ways of looking at the universe so that we can understand how beautifully ordered it is. And I believe Newton was one of those who sort of stood in awe of what God had created. And their discoveries became a part of what we now call classical physics. And it's amazing, you know, when NASA launches a probe, when NASA launches a probe, like the Voyager projects to study planets, it's the laws of Newton that give them a high degree of confidence that the probe is going to arrive exactly where it's supposed to be, way, way, way out in outer space. Think about that, way out in outer space. We have at least one resident rocket scientist here at St. Andrews. I think every church needs at least one. And she tells me that this is based on Newton's third law of physics. And because of classical physics, NASA can tell you where the probes are. And if you go to NASA's homepage, you can see it's here at the bottom. You can see it tells us to the mile exactly how far it is away from Earth at the moment you pull up the webpage. To the mile. That is just unbelievable, the fact that our world is filled with this kind of order. And some scientists tell us that if during the Big Bang, a few constants, I think there are only four scientific constants, if they were off by just the tiniest, 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 minuscule amount, we would not be standing here. It's called the anthropic principle. The fine-tuning of our world is amazing. Now, that's classical physics. Some Christian theology echoes this emphasis on everything being orderly and emphasizing God's plan, not just in the big strokes, but in every single second. Some folks would go as far to say, and some in the Reformed tradition of which Presbyterianism is a part, that everything has already been planned. You're just sort of here to carry out your role on the stage, but it's already been planned. There's nothing you can do about it. And even though you feel like you have a lot of choice and say in the matter, maybe you don't. And maybe we think that way sometimes, different levels, theologically, emotionally, mentally, that we don't have a lot of choice about the way things are. So a question I'm going to pose as we go into Genesis is, did God make the world totally fixed, totally open, somewhere in between? I'm going to land on not totally fixed, and we're going to go back to nature, and here's where it gets a little lectury, but hang with me for a moment. To say why. We're going to delve into the weirdness and wonder of the world for a moment, but we're going to do it in the language of quantum physics because in the 20th century, all this beautiful order gets kind of weird as scientists delve into the ability to look at some atomic particles. They don't follow Newton's laws. Their predictions are wrong. And so we're going to take a look here, and I'm going to invite Amelia to cue up a clip of a couple minutes, this quantum physicist in a TED Talk talking about how to explain quantum physics to seven-year-olds. Now, we can explain and describe them, but no seven-year-old or no PhD is going to completely understand them. But listen to him talk about the world that you inhabit right now and how different it is from the world you perceive. Let's listen. That's probably enough for most of us. He goes into some other things like quantum spin and how particles spin in different directions at the same time. It's wild. It's wild. And that's the world we live in. It's not the world we perceive, but that is the world that we live in. Now, again, we're talking about, is the future, is life, is it all fixed, is it all open? Classical physics, the world that most of us grew up in, the way that we formed our perceptions of the world, we say, yeah, it's certain. It is the way it is. But you listen to this and you go, wow, that's not about certainty. That's about possibility and probability. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? The world of the small is very mind-bending. And if it makes you feel any better, one of the physicists in this, best-known physicists in this field, Richard Feynman, said, I think I can safely say that no one understands quantum mechanics. Nobody understands it. Okay, so what's the point? What's the point? It sounds like our world is filled with probability, possibility, chance, down all the way to the very smallest particles in our universe. And that is wild. I don't know if I think about that when I get up in the morning. We don't know exactly how that affects our everyday life, but I imagine, well, there's one quantum biologist that thinks he does, somebody who does biology and this kind of work at the same time. And he talks about nature, and here's the term he used, as poised. Nature as poised. Now, you and I are part of nature, so what if that means if our biology, our life, is poised to do something at the intersection where God acts and we respond. Let's take this lens, this sort of mind-blowing lens of the vastness of nature and the different kind of phenomena in it, and go into Genesis with this lens and look at how God creates. Because the writer tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heaven from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heaven. God called the space sky. And evening passed, morning came, marking the second day. Down further down in the passage on verse 27, God created human beings in God's own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, God created them. And then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. And then God looked over all that he had made. And God saw that it was what? Very good. God proclaims it good. So we see in Genesis that the Spirit of God, some translations say the wind of God, because the word in Hebrew, ruach, can be wind or spirit. It hovers over the water, but it's formless. There's chaos. And this immense power of God comes and organizes it and makes it into something poetic and beautiful and wonderful. And your life is a part of that. You are an extension of that creation. So let's take this, let's go back to this idea that some of life appears very fixed and certain, some of life seems very open and possible, and use this as a metaphor for life. And think about this. Think about your life. You have some habits, right? You have some things you do every day. Get up and you do this. Every once in a while, if you wonder, you know, I should exercise more, or I should eat differently, or I shouldn't take in so much of that. I should, but you have a habit, right? And some of us who have been walking this path of knowing God through Christ for a long time would say, I really want my life to conform to a higher model for life. Jesus' teachings, God's blueprint for my life. We don't know how specific that blueprint is, but the broad strokes at the very least. But we've got kind of these glass ceilings in our lives, these invisible barriers that we've put up called habit. And sometimes there's more than habit, because there are limitations in life that are very self-imposed. Self-defeating habits, but also self-defeating negative talk, because we have decided that the way things are in terms of the negative stories are the way they are, and there's not much we can do about it. Fair enough? So why don't we do what is possible? If there is possibility in life, if nature is teeming with possibility, why don't we go there? Well, one reason would be habit. Talked about that. One reason would be fatalism. Just sort of give up. This is the way things are. I can't change them. Also, disempowerment. Somebody along the way told me I couldn't do that, or said it has to be this way, and I believe them, or told me you're introverted, so you'll never have a social, you know, like this vibrant social life, which is totally false. Introverts can have beautiful social lives. But maybe we go into these stories and stereotypes. This teacher told me I couldn't do that, and so I've never tried. Why don't we do what is possible? Lots of different reasons, but here's the truth. We are made in the image of God, and I worded this a little differently since I've developed the slides, but we're made in the image of God. God is a creator God. God is a creator. That's what we see in Genesis. A very omnipotent, omnipotent, all-powerful creative force. God is a creator God. We've been gifted as human beings with creativity and ingenuity because we've been made in God's image. We are a reflection of that creative power and force in the universe. We are commissioned to be co-creators with God. So in the face of the shutdowns, the I can'ts, I want to ask, what's possible in your life? Do you know what's possible in your life? And are you living into what is possible given who you are? Now again, some things in life are fixed. I'm not gonna wake up tomorrow and be a 7-foot professional basketball player. You know, I can try to will the subatomic particles into that mold, but it's probably not gonna happen. There's a certain point at which certain things are fixed, but certain things are not. And that's what I wanna live into in a positive way. Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple Computer, believed that it was actually not that hard to change reality around him. And here's what he said in a PBS documentary. He said this: when you grow up, you tend to get told the world is the way it is, and your life is just to live inside that world. Try not to bash into the walls too much. He said, that's a very limited life. Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is, everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it, you can influence, you can build your own things that other people can use. The minute you understand that you can poke life and actually something will, you know, if you push it in, pop out the other side, that you can change life, you can mold it. That's maybe the most important thing. It's to shake off this erroneous notion that life is there and you're just going to live it versus embrace it, change it, improve it, make your mark on it. So how do you hear that today? What life around you is begging to be lived? What possibilities are begging to be actualized? What stories are you being called to let go of that aren't serving, that are shutdown stories, that aren't going anywhere? Well, because that's just the way it is. Is it? Is it? Or do we re-choose, I didn't realize that's not a real word, but I'm using it in purpose, do we choose again that possibility because we have that in our heads? Well, that's the way it has to be. So we choose it again and again and again and again and again. It becomes this self-defeating narrative. I came across a dramatic example of realizing possibility from none other than the Cleveland Browns. I'm from Cleveland. I have to admit, I don't put together the idea of Browns and possibility too often. Don't put those ideas together very often at all. But this was a fascinating story, and just heads up for the Skins fans. It happened, it was a positive story for the Browns, but it happened while they were playing the Redskins in preseason, so I'm sorry about that. But in the preseason game against Washington, the Browns rookie receiver named Damon Sheehy Giuseppe returned a punt 86 yards for a touchdown, this account reads. Not only were fans celebrating, but so were all of his teammates because they knew his story. It continues. No path to playing in the NFL is ever easy, but his was harder than most. Just 4 months prior, Sheehy Giuseppe was homeless and destitute. He was sleeping outside a gym in Miami where he'd spent his last $200 training. In order to talk his way in getting a shot at the spring practice, he convinced officials that he was an acquaintance of the Browns vice president, of player personnel Highsmith, which wasn't exactly true. Yet upon meeting him in person, Hightower was so impressed with him that he offered him a chance to catch a few balls and run a 40-yard dash. Well, that led to one more practice and eventually a rookie contract. Afterwards, Highsmith, the VP, was clearly pleased with his decision. To be as out of football as long as he's been out and still have that type of speed, that means he's fast. And now he's eating 3 square meals a day, sleeping in his own bed. The sky's the limit. Giuseppe said, "I'm just blessed to be healthy and to be in the position that I am. I try to stay in the moment and just think about what's to come next." What's he doing? He's staying in the moment of possibility. I'm super proud to be able to take advantage of moments like that. What a story. He knows more. He's sleeping outside a gym, outside in a gym, homeless, and he knows more than a lot of PhDs in the world about possibility and what is available to us. And he's playing in the NFL because he knew he had this potential and grabbed possibility and created it and lived into it. What is your potential? And where is the possibility in your life that you haven't realized yet? Where is God hovering over the waters of chaos in your life, just waiting to bring poetic beauty and wonder? And what about for us as a community? Where is our potential? What is the possibility? This is an affirmation you can carry with you this week. And let's pray. Almighty God, you call us to realize and act upon possibility in life. Maybe we grow up with a story that everything is fixed and the stage is already set and there's nothing we can do to change the script. We just sort of move through life as an actor. Some people believe that. Nature doesn't seem to believe that. It seems that there's a both and. Some things are pretty set, some things are not set at all. And here we are in the edginess of possibility. The edginess of possibility, wondering, what is your children do you have in store for us? Where are the waters of chaos in our lives? Where are the shadows? Where's the darkness where we don't know? We just say we don't know. But where are you creating light? So think about the concepts, the interplay of the poetic concepts of Genesis, image, light. I think about light that is radiant in the image of God, as we are made in the image of God, light that radiates God's light, God's presence that radiates from us out into the world. And I wonder, where can we create possibility this week? Dear God, help us to bust out of the myths of I can't, I'm not good enough, that's the way it is, into new possibility to live out life in the abundance for which you have created us. In the name of Christ we pray, amen.